on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy, on the grid with Tony Shebeki. For Bendix Brakes, put your foot down with confidence. Fit Bendix Brakes.
G'day everyone and welcome back. It is On The Grid here for Bendix Brakes, 1116 SEN. Thanks for joining us. Plenty happening in the world of motorsport. Of course, we had V8 Supercars, or we had the VA, Virgin Australia Supercars last week down in Perth. We've got them in Winton next week. Formula One action happening at the moment as well in Barcelona. And plenty of things as well, and maybe even a little bit of rallycross. That's where we find our man Richard Crail, who joins us for a chat. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Shebex. How are you?
I'm excellent, mate. Now, where do we find you?
I'm in Maroolan, which is a little country town about an hour and a half from Sydney on the Hume, not far from Goulburn, where we're at the Maroolan Dirt and Car Driver Training Circuit.
Of course you are.
Naturally. Where would you be? Anywhere else today?
Exactly.
For round two of the rxaus.com.au Australian Rallycross Championship.
Now, explain rallycross to us.
Well, if you're not familiar with rallycross, I suppose it's the big bash of motor racing. Short, exciting races, combination of bitumen and dirt. So it really is rallycrossed with circuit racing. So the World Rallycross Championship is a big thing. Ken Block, Tanner Faust, Petter Solberg, the big names running that. The Global Rallycross Championship in America is the same. Lots of manufacturer involvement. And for a couple of years now, it's been trying to get off the ground in Australia. Hasn't got there, but a brand new series was started this year by a couple of former rally competitors from Victoria, Justin Dow, former Australian rally champion, Will Orders, a Victorian rally champion, and a couple of other guys as well, Robbie Bolger involved, the stuntman, and to start a new rallycross championship for Australia. And this is round two. We started with 11 cars at round one, and we've now got to 21 cars for round two this weekend. So it's building and growing, and very exciting times for the sport.
Well, we'll keep talking about that throughout the year as we go on. There's so much to talk about in motor racing, mate, and unfortunately we've only got you for about 10 or 15 minutes to do that, so let's get straight into it. And first of all, I suppose the big story out of Supercars this week was the story about the exit of Adrian Burgess from Wilkinshaw. I think we all saw it coming at some point. I just don't think we saw it coming this early in the year.
Yeah, well, I mean, if he was a football coach, he would have been under as much pressure as Nathan Buckley at the moment. But, you know, the motor racing's probably not so reactive as football, where it's a case of sack your coach and reinvent the team. It's an interesting situation that he's now gone. Clearly, from every report that I read, was he was pushed, and it was a decision from Walkinshaw to move him on, that they weren't getting the results. So, yeah, difficult scenario for that team, and they find themselves in a really tough place, having already spent the off-season rebranding from the Holden Racing team to a brand-new operation, essentially, trying to carry that fan base that they had over, trying to rebuild, trying to get results, new driver, looking after James Courtney, who was very vocal over in the West last weekend about how poor that performance was. And you could feel, I think, for the first time last weekend, there was friction between Adrian and Courtney, just with the comments that James was making about the car and that chassis behaving poorly. And
agreed.
Adrian refuted that on live television and said, no, there's nothing wrong, we've tested it, it's fine. And that's the first time that I've ever sort of seen them disagree, because since they won that championship back in 2010 with Dick Johnson Racing, they've been great mates. So might be reading more into that than there really is. But, yeah, really difficult scenario. And I suppose the first head to roll has been Adrian Burgess, and Walkinshaw Racing will have to rebuild from there.
Under Adrian Burgess, 3 wins in 2014, 2 wins in 2015, 2 in 2016, and yet to score in 2017. So a total of, 7 wins in 3 and a bit years, just not enough. Not from a team that had the Holden money behind it for the majority of that time.
No, correct. You look at it in context, they're against Triple Eight, so that powerhouse team that has been at their peak for the last couple of seasons, the rise of DJR, Team Penske, and Pro Drive Racing Australia. So competitive era, but you don't want to make excuses, because it's they didn't perform to the level they needed to. I was thinking the other day, Shebex, that what would have happened had they won Bathurst last year, because remember they were in a really good shot. We all thought that that car, Dark Panda behind the wheel, was a pretty good opportunity to win that race before the crash at the Chase that was so famous and ultimately affected the outcome of that race in more ways than one. Would it be a different story had they won Bathurst? Would it be a case of, well, you won Bathurst last year, so you've got a bit more time, Adrian, to move on? I don't know. I doubt it, probably. But I just wonder if that might have changed things. But
well, actually, they
should have been motor racing.
They did win Bathurst in Adrian Burgess's time, didn't they? Was that the Tanda and Percat win in 2014? Or was that, no, that was before that, wasn't it?
No, he would have been there because they... Well, he's been there 3 years, so... That would have been maybe right at the start of his tenure.
Yeah.
15-16-17, maybe. Maybe just before.
Interesting. But so a big move for him. He came, of course, from DJR. It was stolen from DJR to head up Wilkinshaw Racing or Holden Racing Team at the time. What's next for Adrian Burgess?
Yeah, well, that's the million-dollar question, probably, for his bank account anyway. I don't know. Does he stay in Australia? Does he stay in supercars? Does he go back to the UK? Remember, he's got Formula One experience with McLaren back in the day, so... He's a really experienced guy. He's been around a long time and has had a lot of success behind the scenes in managerial roles in motorsport. So I'm sure doors will open. I'm sure people will understand the circumstances under which he's been operating at Walkinshaw Racing. And I don't think it's going to affect his job prospects, the guy with that much experience.
No.
But, does he land in supercars? I'm not sure. He's got a close relationship with Betty Clemenco at Erebus, helped set up that deal with Erebus becoming a customer team of Walkinshaw's running their cars. So I'm not suggesting that he'll go there, but there'll be opportunities. But, it's going to be interesting. In the meantime, he'll go and water the garden once again for a while, I suppose.
Yep, exactly right. So the supercars make their way to Winton next week. Going to be an interesting race. We had some interesting racing at Perth last weekend, and one would think that DJR, a team... Dick Johnson Racing and, of course, Team Penske. You'd have to say the team to beat in 2017.
Oh, yeah, clearly they're the fastest cars, aren't they? And they put it all together at Barbagallo and strung together two really good races for Scotty McLaughlin. So, yeah, they're tough. Winton's going to be a different challenge, different tyre, and home turf for Nissan, and they've always performed well there. I feel like there's two teams especially that need a result now, more than perhaps the others. So Walkinshaw's one of them, obviously, but Nissan Motorsport have had a shocker and have not been competitive, really. They've been lucky to be in the top 10 this year. And so home turf for them. So they need a result at a track where they've gone well. Remember, they won their first race there with the two Norton cars with Moffat and Caruso back in the day. And Brad Jones Racing, who have had plenty of car speed. They've been very, very fast, but they've been unlucky and they haven't been able to develop because they've been too busy patching race cars back together after all the damage that's happened, Grand Prix with Percat and then that big crash at Simmons Plains. They need a strong weekend. Remember, Tim Slade dominated last year in the Freightliner car at that venue for his first two supercar victories and a great result for BJR. So I feel like there's a couple of teams that might pop up and challenge DJR, Team Penske and Triple Eight at that round. But the other question for me is, can ProDrive Racing continue on their good form? Because they've been in really good touch and Chas Mostert especially has been driving brilliantly recently. So it's as wide open as it comes though, isn't it, Chibik?
Yeah.
I think that's what we're all energised about. That it's a three-way fight, but the potential for it to become a four- or five-way fight between different teams at any given round is very, very high, and that's pretty tantalising stuff.
It certainly is, and as we turn our attention from supercars to Formula One, of course, we've got F1s in Barcelona this weekend. Let's have a listen to Daniel Ricciardo. Made some comments after his qualifying session, which seemed to be a bit of an improvement for the Red Bull car. Here's Daniel Ricciardo.
It's hard to say. For me, I think I'm still about a second off pole from what I saw. Max is closer. But we're still, we still got to find a bit. I was losing out in the last sector today, so I got to understand why we lost so much time there. I would say the pace is still, you know, unchanged with the leaders. Obviously, Mercedes and Ferrari are still a step or two ahead. So, you know, we got to keep working on what we got. And, I'll try and understand the last sector for me today.
There it is, Mercedes and Ferrari up front. Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel on the front row. Valtteri Bottas and Kimi Raikkonen on the second. Then Max Verstappen, Daniel Ricciardo, 5 and 6. Fernando Alonso, great to see him in the top 10 of qualifying in P7. Obviously, the IndyCar experience has helped him immensely in that Formula 1 car. Well, Sergio Perez, Felipe Massa and Esteban Ocon making up the top 10.
Yeah, good job by Ocon to get in the 10 as well. The Alonso thing I saw, I think it was a quote from him saying... maybe driving on the oval has helped me learn how to go faster in a straight line, which was another clear dig at the Honda engine and how poor they've been performing.
Having said that, though, he did say also that he still is finding it very hard to put his pedal right down to the middle on turn one at Indy. He doesn't understand how they do it.
Yeah, correct. How did he get that car to seventh place? That is not a seventh place car from Formula One. It's an absolute dog, and I don't know how he got that thing there.
Imagine if he had a good engine.
Well, exactly. He'd be on pole by second specs. He's a monstrous driver. He is just in a different league. And, it was amusing on Friday. His car broke 3 corners into practice one, and he left the circuit and was posting photos on social media of him going to have a hit of tennis. So he literally just gave up and wandered off and came back for practice two and ended up getting some laps. But he's in a really difficult spot for a double world champion and still one of the best drivers in the sport. This must be so frustrating.
Without a doubt. But,
and that's why he's doing the Indy thing. It's a diversion, being a competitive car, have an opportunity to win motor races again. And but he proved again last night why he's still so good by qualifying that car seventh when it's barely looked like a top 15 contender the first couple of races of the year. So he's a mighty race car driver.
He certainly is. And the silly season talk has already started in F1. Of course, Alonso has put the ultimatum to his team, either give me a better car or you won't see me anymore. But all the talk is that Sebastian Vettel may not be at Ferrari next year.
I reckon that depends on whether he wins the World Championship this year or not.
Yeah.
Surely. He's in the best position he's been in.
Where's he going to go? Where's he going to go?
Well, exactly right. Who's going to... I mean, probably the big question mark is Bottas is on a one-year deal. Surely Bottas has done a good enough job already to warrant that being extended. And I know Mercedes are the most cashed-up team in the paddock after Ferrari, but Bottas is going to cost you less than the $20 million a year that Sebastian Vettel, a four-time world champion, is going to command when you're already paying Lewis Hamilton about the same, if not more. And surely you keep Bottas. I think he's done a tremendous job so far. Obviously won a race and his performances have been brilliant. So,
if you want the petulant Lewis Hamilton to return, just sign Sebastian Vettel.
Yeah, or Fernando Alonso.
Or Fernando Alonso.
which has been magnificent because their McLaren relationship was just brilliant.
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? I don't know how much it changes, to be honest. I'm not sure.
What happens
if Vettel leaves Ferrari, who goes there? Does Ricciardo go to Ferrari?
Possible. There's always been talk about that, hasn't there?
Wouldn't that be a good thing? Hey, in Catalonia, we need to mention...
that was going to be my next story.
Yeah, good. Well,
Matty Campbell, how good's this?
What a little superstar. So, reigning Carrera Cup Australia champion, racing Porsche Super Cup this year. We all knew he'd be fast, and we knew he'd be competitive, but we weren't quite sure how competitive he'd be, given it's such a competitive series, and it's supercar close. Supercup in terms of qualifying. So 26 car field, top 20 cars were covered by under a second. Matt Campbell qualified on pole by 3/10.
Yeah.
So absolutely smoked them. His first race didn't go quite so well. He didn't make a good start, got a bit of wheel spin. He dropped down to sixth place, had to battle his teammate. So he was a little bit cautious, as you would be racing your teammate in your first Supercup race. Ultimately passed him though, which is a pretty good benchmark if you beat your teammate home. Finished P5 in his Super Cup debut. However, in race two tonight, he starts from pole again thanks to that amazing qualifying performance. So, tremendous stuff. We're all really, really proud of this kid.
Yeah.
We've all followed his journey. Chebecs and you were there as well. Through Formula Ford, through the GT3 Cup, right up through the ranks. Kid from Queensland with no money, and man, he's doing us proud. So, early days, but wow, what a job, what a performance.
We speak so often about kids who have talent, but because they don't have the money, don't get the opportunities. It has been so good to see. And basically because he is part of the Porsche family and he's been part of that Porsche pyramid, he's got the opportunity from winning the Carrera Cup to go overseas and test. He was impressive. They liked him. They've given him a chance. It's just really good to see that.
Yeah, it's huge. And there's a group of businessmen here in Australia, a lot of Queenslanders, have got behind him and tipped him extra budget. So the scholarship he won to do Super Cup was half the budget. So they've still had to raise an enormous amount of money to go and do it, which they've done. And that's a testament that there's Excellent. People that want to get behind him and back him. So awesome result, great start. And so races tonight and then their next rounds at Monaco in 2 weeks. And which will be huge.
Jump onto speakfa.com because all your favourite Carrera Cup drivers have said a happy Mother's Day. So if you want to give your mum a little bit of a special motor racing gift, you can do that. And finally, before we let you go, Richard, Will Power breaks a winless run and wins the Indianapolis Grand Prix.
Yes, finally. He hasn't won since July last year at Pocono. He's had 3 pole positions this year. Hasn't been able to convert, but finally broke through. Less than an hour ago, he crossed the line to win that race. Tremendous drive. And he's back in the game now. He'd already climbed a 7th in the championship, despite DNS in the first 2 rounds of the IndyCar Championship. Now he's in the game and in the championship hunt going into the Indy 500 in 2 weeks' time, which would just be amazing if he could get a good result in that. So, really, really impressive drive by Will. Lights the flag victory. And the 30th win of his career, which breaks a tie with, I think, Al Unser and Elio Castroneves for 11th on the all-time IndyCar win list.
Excellent.
So he's got a remarkable record there, and he's had 47 poles. So, he's back in the hunt, Will Power, which is great to see.
Hard to believe a year ago we were over there.
Oh, I know, right? Wasn't that
a
good thing?
Yeah, I know. In a couple of weeks' time, we'll talk more about that for the Indy 500. Crusher, I think, will join us as well for a bit of a chat there. Mate, go call some Rallycross, and we'll talk to you next week up in Winton.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Shebexie. Check out the Rallycross Facebook page for updates throughout the day.
Good on you, Crowley. Richard Crowell joining us here on The Grid. A break when we come back. We're talking some motocross in just a tick.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy, on the grid with Tony Shebeki. For Bendix Brakes, put your foot down with confidence. Fit Bendix Brakes.
Welcome back. You are on the grid here on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. One of the guys that founded the Aussie X is on the line to have a chat to us about some fantastic news in regards to Chad Reed. We say a very good morning to Adam Bailey. G'day, Adam.
G'day, Tony. How are you, mate?
Mate, I'm fantastic, and I'm presuming you guys are as well, because this is great news. There's a lot of talk that Chad Reed probably wouldn't be involved, but he is.
Yeah, it's an awesome thing for us. That Chad's obviously a superstar of Supercross around the world and the greatest dirt bike rider that Australia's ever produced, arguably. So there's a lot of talk about his potential retirement. He's 35 years of old, but still in the top 10 in the world and finished on the podium at one of the rounds this year. And he's agreed to come back to race the AusX Open in Sydney this November, which is awesome for us. So we're really stoked about it.
And this is sort of an area where he it might be the beginning of the end and sort of that full round circle, because he started his career in that region too, didn't he?
Exactly right, yeah. The indoor supercross used to be quite a big thing sort of throughout the 90s. And Chad, kicked off his career doing that exactly on mini bikes and moved up. And one of his sort of greatest sort of races as a young fella at 16 years of age, he beat Travis Pastrana, who was an international name at the time, and Chad hit overseas and started his US career sort of immediately after. So, and that was at the very same stadium, which is it's Kudos Bank Arena now, but it was formerly the Superdome in Sydney Olympic Park. So that was really something that kicked him off, and now, like you said, almost full circle, it's coming towards the end of his career, hopefully not this year, but potentially. So we're going to have him back, and we'll give him a send-off if it is his last one, that's for sure.
And so it definitely will be his final race here in Sydney? He won't go again?
No, not definitely. I mean, he wants to. Yeah. He's currently not contracted. So it's a little bit up in the air at the moment. I know he wants to continue, but he is 35 years of age, so it's hard for him to get, the same sort of contracts that he was getting years ago. But regardless, he's committed to the AusX Open, and we're pumped to have him.
Is it amazing, and do you find it amazing, Adam, that his body is held together after 17 years of the punishment that he's put it through? I mean, I know he's had a lot of injuries and I know there's been issues there, but the fact that he's still riding at this age after 17 years is beyond me.
It's absolutely incredible. He really is a bit of a freak of nature, and he's beating young guys that are literally, 20, 22, in the prime of their age, and he's still faster and as fit and as strong. And to be doing that at 35, and even to have the motivation to do that at 35 is incredible. So he's an extremely impressive athlete and an impressive guy, that's for sure. So, he's without a doubt a superstar. It's awesome to have him back down under.
in a place that he's excelled so well in the last couple of years. I think he's won pretty much most of the races that he's competed in the Aussie X Open for the last couple of years against some pretty good competition too, Ricky Carmichael, Cooper Webb, those sort of blokes.
Yeah, he has. He hasn't had it all his own way. He's definitely been challenged, but without a doubt, he's definitely been the dominant force. So we've got a couple of big names to announce over the next week or so that we think are definitely going to challenge him, so it's going to be interesting. He probably doesn't like that because he'd love to be the number one dog in the hometown, obviously, but he won't have it all his own way this year, that's for sure.
Do you find it staggering also, Adam, that Chad's probably known so much bigger, and it's like if there's so many sportsmen around Australia that are in this category, they're so much bigger overseas than they are in their own country.
Yeah, it is quite amazing. I think you know, they ride in front of packed out stadiums, 60,000 to 80,000 on a weekly basis in the US. So it is quite amazing that people here don't know it as well. But we feel like that's changing. The more people that attend Aussie X Open every year seem to go away happy and stoked and committing to come back to the next year. So we think over time that's going to change.
You guys have come up with a spectacular format here with the Aussie X Open. It's sort of that mix of that supercross and freestyle motocross type thing that has just gone down so well over the last couple of years.
Yeah, thanks, mate. It's definitely the combination of the racing and the sport, which is unpredictable and it's unscripted, which you never know what's going to happen, with the entertainment values. You know, being indoors, a nice indoor arena, you've got music and light and pyrotechnics and it's easy to get, you know, a beer and food and whatnot.
Important.
Nice, comfortable environment, which, yeah, it makes a difference for the whole experience, you know, when you're in the comfort like that.
And packed out stadiums as well. I think the Saturday nights have been just about full for the last 2 years, haven't they?
Yeah, the Saturday night has sold out sort of within days for the first 2 years, which has been incredible. So we expect that to happen again. And the Sunday is proving to be as popular now with families. It's more of a family day if you come out with the kids and you know, missus and two kids. It's a little bit earlier in the day, so it's started sort of 3 o'clock this year, so you know, you've still got time to get everyone home for bed.
Would it be fair to say that the sport of supercross is sort of going through a bit of a renaissance, is sort of on the way back up?
We think so, and that's definitely the plan. I mean, we've always believed in it, and hence why we wanted to make the Aus X Open happen, was that we just felt like it's a bit of a sleeping giant, you know, like to watch as a spectacle. You can see everything right in front of you. You don't have to leave your seats, whereas, you know, like a motorsport, other typical motorsport events like a supercars or MotoGP or F1, you can see a corner or a section of track and they disappear again, whereas in this you can sit in the same seats. No matter which seat you have in the stadium, you can see every single thing that happens and you don't miss any of the action. So we sort of always felt that was something pretty special, and we thought that people would love it, and luckily they have.
Great weekend away for the family, for the dad, mum and kids who want to get up there for the weekend in November. But as we said, because it does get busy, you guys are making a suggestion that people pre-register for their seats?
Yeah, we've got a sign-on registration for pre-sale tickets at ausxopen.com.au, and that just gives everyone the opportunity, the first opportunity at tickets and to be kept in the loop as to when they're on sale, which all those announcements will be happening in the next coming days. So it's all starting to happen now, and we're really excited about it.
Really appreciate your time, Adam. Congratulations with the re-signing of Chad for the series this year, and let's hope it's going to be a cracker.
Thanks a lot, Tony. I appreciate it.
Adam Bailey joining us here on The Grid.